There's that program on TV that I just discovered the other week. It's called The World's Dumbest. On the program, they have apparently true accounts of people who have done dumb things. Generally, one of two consequences occur. They get injured or they get arrested, one or the other, or both. The crazy thing is about that program, which makes it something that people want to watch, is they say, well, you know what, I could do that. And the people that are performing these things really think that they're going to be able to get away with what they're doing, whether it be some type of acrobatic act or illegal activity. They think somehow they can pull it off without consequence. And they always, always, always mess it up. And that's what the program's about. And you and I will watch it if you and I have watched it. And we'll sit there thinking, yeah, you know, I could see myself doing that. If that program had been on TV 2,800 years ago, the star of it would have been Jonah. For I'd like to posit to you tonight that the dumbest thing anybody can do is to say no to God. The psalmist put it this way, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Literally, that's how it's translated. Now, we put the there is in there to make it sound good, but literally the Hebrew text says no God. And that's exactly what Jonah did. God spoke to him. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach. I want you to reach those people. And Jonah said, uh-uh. And he got this wonderful idea that he could actually say no to God, go in an opposite direction, and get away with it. Well, you know how that worked out. We saw last week how God had prepared a great fish, and that thing came, and they threw Jonah overboard, swallowed him up, and there he was for 3 days and three nights. We pick up the story tonight in Jonah chapter 2. In the 3 days and three nights, Jonah learned something. There is a story, it's found in, I believe, Mark chapter 5, verse 15, about a man who was possessed with demons. And Jesus came to him and cast out the demons, and they found the man afterwards in his right mind, the Scripture says. There were no demons to be exorcised of Jonah, but there certainly were some thoughts that had to be exercised from his mind. Basic one, you can say no to God and get away with it. And in the 3 days and three nights that he was in this fish, he came to his senses. He came to a right mind. And here is his declaration. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. There are six things I want you to see that Jonah learned in this 3 days and three nights. And in verse 2, we find the first, and it's possibly the most important. And it's this. No matter how far one travels, he is never out of the care of God. No matter how far you can travel on this earth, and Jonah says he was in the belly of hell. Now, the hell here is not the fiery place of torment. Hades, or the Sheol, as the Hebrew word is here, was understood to be the place of departed spirits. It was to be found in the center of the earth. Understand, in the reckoning or the reasoning of Jewish folks back then, the center of the earth was the farthest place away from God. You couldn't get any farther away than the center of the earth. So he is saying, here I was in the belly of this fish. It is as if I was in the center of the earth, the farthest way possible from God. And yet, when I cried out to him in my affliction, he heard me. Isn't that good? Why is that so important? Because sometimes when we say no to God, and we do say no, God, don't we? Well, you don't have to shake your head. We do say no, God. I know from personal experience. And we think we can get away with it, and life starts breaking down. And we get frustrated, and we become forlorn, and we think, how can God care for me anymore? And Jonah cried out, and he cried out in his affliction, and he says, God heard me. Isn't that good to know? If we confess our sins, He is occasionally faithful and just. He hears us. Not only He hears us. Someone put that to music. I don't know. I just heard it recently. Not when we're, Lord, here's something that I'm asking. You know, I have this need in my life. But it's, Lord, I've really messed things up. He hears us. No matter how far we travel, we are never out of the care of God. Second thing, verses 3 and 4. For thou hast cast me into the deep. Notice the change here. In verse 2, you see Jonah talking about his actions. But in verse 3, you find Jonah talking about what God has done. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Second thing he learned, no matter how far God removes him from life, he never removes him from the life. You say, huh? What's the difference? In John chapter 10, the story of Lazarus. You remember the story. We won't turn and look at it. How Mary and Martha sent message to Jesus, come, your Lazarus, the one who you love, is sick. And Jesus waited a couple of days, and finally they get there. Martha comes running out, and she says, oh, it's too late, he's died. He's already in the tomb. And Jesus said, well, your brother is going to rise again. And she said, well, yeah, at the last day, at the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus said, he that believes on me, though he were dead, will yet live again. And he that believes on me shall never die. Wait a minute. That sounds confusing, doesn't it? What's he talking about? He's talking about a physical life and a spiritual life. When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, we possess life. Apart from faith, we are dead in trespasses and sin. We are living dead. We have physical life, we walk around, but spiritually we are dead. But when we come to faith in Christ, we are born again. And the body will one day give up. And we will be physically dead. But the spiritual life is eternal life. And no matter how much the physical life is taken from us, the spiritual life never departs. That's what he's saying here. You were ordering my world. You were doing the things that you, as a sovereign God, do. You cast me into the deep. It's not that I swam down there. That fish came along, and I didn't say to the fish, you know, well, stay at around 15 feet. You know, that's cruising level. Or up periscope, or anything along those lines. That fish did exactly what you wanted it to do. It was in the midst of the seas. If it was up to me, we would have stayed close to shore. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. We weren't going along like this. We were going along like this. It was up and it was down. It wasn't a pleasant ride. I felt as if I was out of your sight. Life became so bad. It's like you weren't looking at me. And then I came to the realization that I will look again towards thy holy temple. What temple was that? the one in Jerusalem. For Jonah was a prophet of Israel up in the northern kingdom. They were supposed to come down to Jerusalem. The kings of Israel made that almost impossible to do. I don't know if Jonah actually followed through on that or not. I can't say that he did. I can't say that he didn't. But even if he did, that's not the one he was referencing. Because that temple in Jerusalem wasn't very holy. It had been disgraced by the kings of Judah. What he's talking about is, even if God takes my life, I will stand in heaven and be in the presence of God. You know, we can make things pretty bad. 1 John 5 tells us that there is a sin that's unto death. Not just a particular sin, but sin that can be so blatant that God says, okay, that's it. In my justice, I'm not going to allow you to have physical life anymore. I know a family that had a son that had walked away from God. The son had come to know Christ at an early age, and he had a number of years of testimony of walking with the Lord, but something happened, I don't know what, that caused him to walk away and not live for the Lord anymore. And there was a lot of pleading for him to come back, and he refused everyone. He had an auto accident, an unexplained auto accident that took his life. And his parents said God wasn't going to allow him to continue in that life anymore. But they said, we know he's in heaven. No matter how far God removes us from life, he never removes us from the life. Our salvation is permanent. Thirdly, verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. Now, he's not talking about the physicality of things. He's talking about the emotions of things. He was depressed. The depth closed me round about. Claustrophobia. I mean, here he was in this. And understand, he was in the belly of a fish. No matter how big that fish was, he wasn't walking around in it. He wasn't sitting around having a campfire toasting marshmallows in the thing. He was stuck in that thing. The weeds were wrapped around my head. What a wonderful sight. Can you imagine yourself being stuck in that thing and seaweed is just wrapped around you and there's not much that you can do about it? Comfortable, isn't it? Pleasant, isn't it? I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. No matter how bad life may become, evil never triumphs. By evil, I don't necessarily mean the enemies of God. I mean just the bad things of life. He's down at the bottom. He says it's like being in prison. There's nowhere for him to go. He was in the depths of the Mediterranean Sea. You know, as you go down underwater, you have the pressure of water on you. And probably most of us have only been in a swimming pool, maybe 10, 12 feet deep or something like that. But if you go down a whole lot farther, you can feel the weight. In fact, there are places where you can't exist because the pressure of the water is so great. Well, he was down in the depths. Fortunately, he was in the belly of the fish. That gave him some protection to the pressure. But undoubtedly, there was this sensing of the pressures. You've never been under pressure, have you? Life has never closed in around you, has it? You've never really felt claustrophobia closed in upon. You've never had seaweed, so to speak, hanging around you, that things that are just annoying to you. I was telling Patrick this morning, for 2 weeks I've had a toothache. First it's this tooth, then it's this tooth, then it's this tooth, then it's all three, then it's back to this one. So I finally went to the dentist last week, took x-rays. It's not your teeth. Your sinuses are cloudy. And I've been dealing with a toothache that's not a toothache. And the dentist said, I can't do anything about it. You can't pull your sinuses. There's no relief other than I've been taking some decongestant. That seems to help a little bit. It's annoying, isn't it? There are annoyances in life. But they will never triumph. He says at the end here, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. As bad as the world may seem to us, we know that this world isn't all that there is. We have a blessed hope. One day Jesus Christ is coming again. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of these days, we're going to be out of here. One of these days, we're going to be walking on streets of gold where there are no toothaches, no crazy scientific studies to see if people on marijuana and alcohol are more intoxicated than people who only use one. Because there's not going to be any marijuana or alcohol. No one intoxicated. And we have a hope to look forward to. Next one. When my soul fainted, when I had given up, is basically what he's saying, within me I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Fifth thing that he recognized. You know what? It's the fourth thing. I can't count. I can't remember things. I can't count. This is a bad day. When man comes to the end of himself, he comes to the beginning of God. My soul fainted. There was nothing left. I gave up. I said, okay, God, I'm yours. God, I can picture Dr. Paul Ryder at ABC. He had this smile. His mouth literally went from ear to ear. He just beamed whenever you recognize something that he knew all along. And I can see the face of God with the smile of Dr. Ryder on it, sitting in heaven saying, yeah, I know, you always have been. Now I can do something with you. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temples. Man, God, I blew it. I had this idea in my head that I could say, no, God, I'm going to do my own thing. You want me to go here? I'm going this direction, and I'm not going to Tarshish. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm heading to Tarshish. I'm going to do my own thing, and I could have had it so well. And now look what I've had. Sailors that didn't care for me, a sea that was tempestuous. They threw me overboard. A fish ate me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. Life has been good. No, it hasn't. God, here am I. I give up. And when he gave up, then the mercy of God took over. Interestingly enough, verse 10, I'm going to skip verse 9 for just a second. And the Lord spake unto the fish and say, okay, get rid of them. When he came to the end of himself, he came to the beginning of God. Last one, verse 9. When man really comprehends how little he is, he then can comprehend how great God is. Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. At this point, he didn't know that the fish was going to get rid of him. At this point, he was willing to say, God, if you want my life, I'm yours. Take it from me. Let's end it right here. But he said, no matter what you do or don't do, I will sacrifice. I recognize that you are the sovereign God of the universe. You have the right to say jump, and the only response from me should be how high. Not only am I going to sacrifice because you require it, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will be happy with what you do. I will be thankful for what you do. It doesn't matter whether I live, I die, or anywhere in between, whether I'm a king or a slave, whether I'm rich or poor, I will sacrifice because you are the sovereign God, and I will do it with the voice of thanksgiving because anything that I have is a gift from you. Consequently, I will pay that I have vowed. What was it that he had vowed? Somewhere in Jonah's life, he came to the recognition that God was the sovereign God who provided salvation. And in sacrificing, he said, I not only am giving these animals and these offerings to you, I am giving me to you. I am yours. Something in Romans chapter 12, you may have heard once or twice. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your next door neighbor a living sacrifice. Now, your bodies. I think Jonah did that. I vowed myself as a servant to you. A servant does not have the right to say what he will do and what he won't do. Where he will do it, where he won't do it. How he will do it, how he won't do it. When he will do it, when he won't do it. I am a servant. I am yours. You speak, I will do. And then he says this. Salvation is of the Lord. I had it in my mind that I could choose who would come to know Christ as Savior and who wouldn't. I didn't like those Ninevites. When you told me to go to Nineveh, I said, and an interesting little thing I did in my study this week, I'm not going to share it with you tonight. I want to challenge you to do it on your own. So if I give you the answers, you won't do it. Sit down and meditate on this. Why would Jonah say no, God? Why wouldn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh and share the gospel with them? I came up with about five different possible reasons. And I don't know that there's a right and a wrong answer, but you sit down and think about that. And then think about the reasons you've given when you've had opportunity to share, when the Lord laid somebody on your heart and nudged you to share the gospel and you didn't do it. Bet you they match up. But he says this, salvation is of the Lord. You know, here am I, I'm saying who I will witness to, who I won't witness to. I wonder if the person who shared the gospel with me, if they had that opportunity, whether I'd be saved or not. I am so thankful that whoever God laid, who burdened the heart of that person who shared the gospel with me, was obedient. Because apart from that, I wouldn't be saved today. And Jonah is saying, if that's the case with me, so should it be with the others that I have opportunity to share Christ with. God, you are really an awesome God. And I'm just a little servant. When man really comprehends how little he is, then he can comprehend how great God is. And then we don't do those dumb things, do we? Until the next time. Father, help us tonight to be people who are in our right minds, sensical about the things of life, not senseless. Lord, may we be guided by the promises and the principles of Your Word, and by the prompting of Your Holy Spirit. And may we be found obedient. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.